Oh, ain't he good? Isn't he good? Amen. He is good. Everywhere I go, it's like I keep remembering how good he is. We're starting a new year, aren't we? New year of new challenges, new possibilities, a lot of new things. We just come out of a year, last couple years. You know, there's a lot of things that's happened. A lot of things take place. A lot of things leave questions. A lot of things have taken place, and we feel victorious. But praise God, he is always victorious. You know what? He has said that he will never leave us nor forsake us, and those that trust in him will never be put to shame. Now, that is something we can go to the bank to, so to speak. You know, if we need something, he is there for us. You know, the really neat thing is we got this book, the Word of God, the Bible, with so many great stories that to help remind us of his faithfulness. And that's what I want to do. I want to share, it's a story we all know, I'm sure, but I just want to bring back to your memories of God's faithfulness in this journey in life. And that story is found in Daniel chapter 3. Now, this is a story of three Jewish boys, Israelites. Okay, these Israelites, they found themselves in captivity under the rule of Nebuchadnezzar. They didn't ask to go there, but they found themselves there. A little bit of the chapter before that, you see these three gentlemen, along with their friend Daniel. They were chosen to be kind of nurtured and brought up in the king's palace and given his food to eat. And these men said, hey, wait a minute. You want to feed us all this meat and all this other stuff, and we can't do it. We're not going to do it. You know, you sacrifice the idols. We serve one true God. We don't serve idols. And the guy over them said, hey, you know, my head could be on the chopping block with the king if you don't do what he wants you to do. And they said, tell you what, you feed us herbs and veggies and all that stuff, and see, if not, we don't stand out. So they did. And of course, we know the story that God blessed them, blessed their actions because of their convictions they stood to, true to. So a little time goes on. Now we have, you know, King Nebuchadnezzar. He decides he wants to put an idol up to worship their gods. And as the story goes, everyone's supposed to bow down and worship this idol. Whenever all the instruments play, you got all the flutes and the tambourines. When you hear the sound, you're supposed to bow down to this god, to these fake, false gods. Well, we also know, as the story goes, that we have three guys with convictions that they will not bow to any foreign gods. So that's what I want to read here. It's in Daniel chapter 3. I'm going to start at verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. This is after they've been accused of not bowing. They refused to bow, so they're brought before the king. If we are thrown into this blazing furnace that you've prepared, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated seven times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and their clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and these three men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing fire. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and said, and asked his advisors, "Weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, your majesty." He said, "Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound, unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods." In the King James, it says, the son of man, son of God. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, "Servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the straps and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Hallelujah. It don't matter what you run into, God's going to be there with you. You may not even find yourself wanting to be in a situation. We got these three men in a country they didn't ask to go to, in a situation they didn't ask to be in, and you might say, they were doing everything right. You may be doing everything right, but sometimes we find ourselves in situations and we wonder, Lord God, what's going on? Let me tell you, it's not the time to give up. It's not the time to give up whenever you find yourselves being thrown in the fire. It's not the time to give up on God when you find yourself in the fire. Because when you're in the fire, the fourth one is going to show up. And when he shows up, he's going to deliver you. Trouble may come, but he said, "I will deliver you from it all." He didn't say, "I will deliver you from some of it." He said, "I will deliver you from it all." And when he delivers, he brings you out without the singeing, the smell of smoke. You've been set free. Now, the amazing thing is whenever he shows up in the midst of the fire, your bonds are burned off or untied. You're walking around with him unhurt, unsinged, rejoicing in him. Now, there's some things we should look at with these guys. You know, they were uncompromised. They were not willing to set aside their convictions. For they knew, they were taught the Word of God. They knew the stories of Moses. They knew how God delivered them out of the sea. They knew how David defeated Goliath. They knew all the stories, and they knew God's Word. They were taught God's Word, and it built a conviction in their heart that carried them through. How many times do we need to know who we are in God? But we need to take the time to learn who God is and what he thinks of us. God is ultimately good. Okay? Let's settle that right now. He is ultimately good. So many times we get into situations, we wonder, how in the world did we get into this? Of course, sometimes we find ourselves from decisions we make, seeds we plant in our life, we find ourselves there. And sometimes it's our fault, sometimes it isn't, but God will deliver us and set us free. Flip back here to some of my notes, try to stay on track a little bit. One of the principles that we need to look at in our lives is the very simple thing is when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, what does it say in Romans? Romans 10, 9 through 13. Because this is a principle, a foundational principle in accepting Christ. It says we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, because it's with our heart that we are justified and with our mouth that we are saved. How many times when we're faced with trouble or situations in our life, we want to start rehearsing the circumstances? Okay? We find ourselves, what are some things that maybe we find ourselves in life? Maybe we lose a job. Oh, Lord, I lost my job. Next thing we know, we want to tell everybody around us how we lost our job. God said he will supply all our needs according to his riches and glory, did he not? He will make a way where there is no way. He is working whenever we don't even see him working. He is working when we don't even feel him working, but he is working on our behalf. You may get a report from the doctor. You got 2 months to live. Would you say you're in the fire at that point? That's not the time to give up on God because of the doctor's report. The doctor's report is the report. It's true. But who do we serve? We have a God. We have Jesus who died for our sins on the cross to shed blood. And by the stripes that he bore, we have been healed. We're healed. We have to receive that and believe that. But as soon as we start getting that report, we can't start rehearsing the problem. We can't start talking the problem. We got to start talking what the Word of God says. What does the Word of God say? By Christ's stripes I've been healed. By that I stand. I have a covenant through the blood of Jesus. It's not by my works. It's by the shed blood of Jesus. Because Jesus paid the price. We don't have to be beaten again. We don't have to hang on the cross. He's done it for us. We weren't worthy to hang. He wasn't supposed to hang, but he did. He was innocent, but he carried that law of sin and death to the cross. What's it say in Romans 8, 2? That we have been set through Christ Jesus, we have been set free from the law of sin and death. What is part of that law? Well, in that law, we find everything that entered into the world when Adam fell. There was a law of sin and death that came into the world, and he set us free from that law of sin and death. A little bit more about the words we speak. In Proverbs 13:2 says, from the fruit of our lips we enjoy good things. It says in verse 3, that we're to guard our lips, for it preserves our life. We are created in the image of God. The words we speak are powerful. We don't really realize how powerful our words are because we're created in his image. So it says that out of the issues that our stomach is filled from the fruits of our lips, the issues of life. So it's important that we keep our mind stayed on Christ. What happens many times, we get a report, and next thing we know, the enemy starts talking to us. You're done. You're dead. You're sinking. You're going down. And what do we want to do? We start listening to that. The Word says, take captive every thought and imagination that rises itself up against the knowledge of God. Okay? What is that knowledge? Well, it's in here. We want to take the time to get to know our Father. We know it by the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he became flesh. It's getting to know Jesus in prayer and reading. We need to know. If we don't know, then the lie becomes real to us. The only power the enemy has over us is the lie. If we can get us to believe the lie, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth starts speaking. If we believe the lie and the lie gets settled down in our heart, now we start speaking the lie. We got to get the Word of God down in your heart. So when we're in the pressure pot and we start getting squeezed, we find ourselves in the fire, we don't speak the lie. We speak the Word of God, the truth. And what is that's what comes out of our mouth. It says in James that we shouldn't be double-minded. Do we believe the lie? Do we believe God? He says if we have to believe and have the faith. And if we don't, we're like a ship tossed back and forth. Why should we expect to receive anything? Galatians says that we should walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Now, what's that? Let me flip over to that. Galatians. This is so critical because a lot of times we're going to find, let me get this here. Let's go to Galatians 5. Galatians 5:17-26. Just want to read this here. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions and factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, we get saved and born again. That's great. But that's just the beginning. We get made new. We, our spirits are made new. Now we need to find out what God says about life in general. It says in 2 Peter that through his word, he's given us everything that we need through his Spirit for life and godliness. This is so critical. I believe we're in a time, we've always been in a time, but it even seems more critical now because Christ is, I believe he's coming back soon. I'm not sure, I don't know when, but also, you know, there's a lot of things going on. Look around us, our country's even changing. I don't think God's done with America yet. I believe he has a plan for America yet, but he has a plan for the church. I believe there's a revival for a end time harvest underway. That also doesn't mean that we won't be facing persecution. That could happen. Do we have the convictions to stand strong? It's very important that we start walking in the Spirit, walking in love. It says here that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing there is no law. We have the Holy Spirit within us. We need to yield to the Holy Spirit. If you accepted God, you got the Holy Spirit deposited in you. But we need to yield to the Spirit and not the flesh, not the selfish desires, not everything we want to do. We need to be set apart from the world. Just because we are free doesn't mean we should abuse that freedom and just keep living every way we want to live. We can't be going to parties, getting drunk. We can't be sleeping together and not getting married. I'm not very good at dancing, so if I step on toes, I'm sorry. Well, not really, but I never took dancing lessons, so it's a good chance I can step on toes. But our life needs to reflect the Spirit of God. And in that Spirit, then, when we're living in step with the Spirit, when things come up, it says that if we ask and we can expect anything that we ask, but we can't have our hearts condemning us. For if our hearts condemn us, we won't have the confidence that he hears us and is willing to do the things that we go to prayer about. We have to be consecrated and live a life of God. That's one of the things that I believe that these three Hebrew boys, including Daniel, they lived a consecrated life. They knew God's word. They weren't willing to compromise under pressure. They said, God will deliver us, but let it be known, even if he didn't or won't, we're still not going to bow down. What if in the coming months, years, things change in this country. It's like that in some countries. We're blessed beyond measure. That what if they come and say, hey, you can't buy, you can't sell, you're going to bow down to the government. We're your God, trust us, we'll take care of you. And something inside of you says, no, I will only trust the Lord, the living God, and you take a stand. You can't be a compromised Christian to take a stand. Even the little things in life, you got to be willing to take a stand in what you know is right and what pleases God. Because when the big things come in life, you might be left wanting. It's a horrible thing to be weighed in the balances and be found wanting. We got to keep the fresh wine in us, for it is the fresh power that we need to get through life. Jesus is the answer. When we end up in the fire, do not give up. That isn't the time to give up. How many times, as soon as we hear the threat, we start seeing the flames off in the distance. No, we don't want to go there. I'll bow. I'm not sure if God will deliver me. You know, it says in Hebrews that you got this whole witness of people of faith, and they were commended for their stand and how God delivered them. Then you got those that weren't delivered. They settled in their heart that it was worth dying for a better resurrection, it said. So even in the end, we win. We win because Jesus won. We win because he won. It's not our goodness, but he will set us free. And when you're facing things, you got to go to the bank. There is no but. I guess that's one of the things that frustrates me with religion. You can't preach that God will do this and do that, and then in the same breath go, but... And then we come up with a reason why he might not. Well, how do you have a confidence in that when you have the scriptures that if you believe in his name and confess with your mouth that he is Lord God and he's willing to forgive, you can't in the same breath say, yes, but maybe he won't. That's the same principle applied in everything else that we receive from God. It is a basic principle of salvation. And you cannot apply the word but in his promises. He said his promises are yes and amen. One of the things I want to leave with you, as we live in uncertain times, you know, the Bible is timeless. And a lot of times we wonder how to pray because we face a lot of different things. And I'll find what I think it's in here. It is. You know, a lot of times we have to make a declaration of our faith. Where we stand with God's word. And one of the best things that I have, one of the scriptures of my favorite is Psalms 91. I mean, I don't care what it is that you face in this life. Psalms 91 seems to cover it. Whether it was yesterday, today, or tomorrow, it covers it. And if that's one scripture that you want to put in your heart and have at a given moment, it is that scripture. In fact, I like to call it my 911 scripture. When there's an emergency, that's the scripture I want. Because it's the one that I'm going to find the foundation of believing that God's going to sustain. Now, you can read this, put this in your heart. But I've kind of written, I wrote out a declaration based on this, on that scripture, Psalms 91. I just want to read it to you. And if you want a copy of this, I can get a copy. But I have here, I dwell in the shelter of the Most High and rest in the shadow of the Almighty. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Well, let me just stop there. I'm making a declaration. Okay, he is my shelter, and he is the Most High, and I rest under his shadow. Now, I don't do that because of my good works. I do that because of the blood of Jesus. I can rest under his shadow. But let me tell you, I can't just live any way I want, because that's just, think of the shadow like an umbrella. Okay? It's pouring down rain. If you start living any way you want, then you step outside from underneath the umbrella. You step outside from underneath God's shadow. Now what? You find yourself unprotected. Okay? Even though we come into his presence by the blood of Jesus, we can willfully step outside of his goodness and his grace. That's the choice of love he gives us, to either stay in his presence and abide. And there's nothing like abiding in his presence. I say, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. He saves me from the fowler's snare and deadly pestilence. He covers me with his feathers, and under his wings I find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and rampart. I do not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 may fall at my right hand, but it does not come near me. I only observe with my eyes the punishment of the wicked. I say of the Lord, he is my refuge. I make the Most High my dwelling. No harm overtakes me, no disaster comes near my home. He commands his angels concerning me to guard me in all my ways. They lift me up that I don't strike my foot against a stone. I tread on the lion and the cobra. I trample the great lion and the serpent. Because I love the Lord, he rescues me and protects me. For I acknowledge his name, and I call on him, and he answers me. He is with me in trouble and delivers me and honors me. He satisfies me with long life and shows me his salvation. Okay? That's his word. I've just taken it and made it personal. A declaration of his word, applying it to my life. Now, maybe for a while, it takes a while to get that settled down in you. Sometimes it's like, I can't believe this. But the more you meditate on him, meditate on his word, the deeper that settles down in your heart, and it's the first thing that's going to come up, and you're going to speak, oh, I am dwelling in the shadow of the Most High, and he protects me in all my ways, and with long life he will satisfy me and show me his salvation. No disaster will come near my tent. Even though 1,000 may fall here and 10,000 there, I will only observe the judgment of the wicked, because it's not my judgment, because of the blood of Jesus. So as we go forth into the new coming year, as usual, there's many uncertainties. And there might, and lately it seems like that's multiplied. I want to challenge you to just stay in his presence and abide, because in his presence there is safety and trust. We don't have to worry and fear, because his love is in us. His love is perfect. It casts out all fear. We can just step into that. Now, sometimes it's not easy. We have to make that quality choice. When the enemy comes and starts whispering, it's over, it's over, that's where we take that captive. No, the word says this. Maybe you got to get angry. No. It says resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Can't give in to him. You have to resist. And I guarantee you, if you resist, you're going to come out of that fiery furnace, whether you found yourself in that situation against your willingness, you just, because circumstances, you ended up there. He's going to be in there with you. He's going to be the fourth person, or the second person. If he's going to be side beside with you, and you're going to come out the other side without smoke. The scent of smoke, your hair singed, because he will deliver you. Because that's who he is. And his word is faithful and true. And those that trust in him will not be put to shame. That's his word. It's not my words. Either we can trust him or we can't. If we can't trust him, what's this whole thing of salvation anyways? And promise of eternal life in heaven and with God's presence. If we can't trust him here on earth, how can we trust him with our eternal souls? We can't. But I tell you, we can. There is an ultimate trust. We can trust him no matter what we go through. We've given him our souls, our spirits, and he will be there when we show up someday, when we leave this earth, or he comes back and catches away his body, his church, his bride, spotless, without wrinkle, and holy. It'll be worth it all. In the meantime, he's with us. He will deliver us. He will set us free. He will do what he says he will do. I guess that's all I have. I just want to pray. And if you need prayed for anything, come forward. We'll pray for you. If you need to accept the Lord, you need to walk back in underneath his shelter because of the life you've been living, come forward. We'll pray with you because his love is so great. He is so patient and so enduring. Father God, just thank you for your word and for your goodness. You are holy. You are pure. You are so righteous. We find ourselves needy at times, but when we look to you, you welcome us back. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness and your love and that you're with us throughout this year and you will deliver us and you will set us free no matter what we find ourselves facing, that you will be the God you said you are and the God we know you are. By the blood of Jesus, we give you all the praise and the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.